King Edward VI is one of the forgotten kings of England. He was without doubt the godliest king. He came to the throne in the year 1547. What's strange about that, you say? Well, he was only 9 when he became king. 9 years of age. He only reigned for 6 years. He died at the age of 15. But I want to tell you folks that he made such an impact during those 6 years. And England today is still feeling the positive effects of his reign. He was a Christian king. He was a Protestant king. And at that time, of course, the Reformation fires were blazing all across Europe. But they hadn't yet reached the shores of our nation. But it was King Edward VI who laid the foundation for the English Reformation. And when he was crowned in the year 1547, the Archbishop of Canterbury, who was the very famous Thomas Cranmer, you know, the Archbishop who wrote the Book of Common Prayer, Archbishop Cranmer, as he preached the coronation sermon, he predicted that young Edward would become the British Josiah, or the English Josiah. And the Archbishop's words came true, because during the young king's reign, he made such an impact upon England and turned the nation back to true biblical Protestantism. Do you know when he was 12 years of age, he wrote what was called a treatise against the primacy of the Pope? 12 years of age now. He wrote this essay, I suppose is a more modern word, against the papacy. Have you ever heard of a 12-year-old doing the like of that? And he wrote against the papacy and the Pope and all his blasphemous claims. You do know that the Pope has usurped the position of all 3 members of the Trinity. You see, the Pope calls himself, and to this day now, not just talking about the 1500s, to this very day, the Pope in Rome, he claims the title Holy Father. That's a title that belongs alone to God the Father. Do you know that the Pope claims to be the Supreme Pontiff? The word pontiff means bridge or mediator. Well, come on now, folks. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. And not content with stealing the title that belongs to the Father and the Son, the Pope steals the title that belongs to the Holy Spirit as well, the Vicar of Christ upon earth. And then you get people who say, oh, don't be so sectarian, speaking about the Pope or the papacy or Roman Catholicism. You're so full of hate, so bitter, so critical. I want to tell you folks, as long as I've breath, I'll preach against the papacy, just like King Edward VI. Anyone who steals the title that belongs to my beloved Saviour alone, they are my enemy. But there was young King Edward VI, the British Josiah, the English Josiah. We've read today about King Josiah from the Bible. What a reformer he was. I want you to notice, folks, that at the age of 8 years, he became king of Judah. Notice 2 Chronicles 34 verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. It It's amazing, isn't it? Someone who was just 8 years of age and he becomes king. He ascends to the throne of the nation. It's very unusual. But I think of one person who can better that. I think of someone who didn't just come to the throne when he was 8 or 7 or 6 or 5 or 4 or 3 or 2 or 1. No, I think of someone who came, who was born king. He had been on the throne of the universe for all eternity. Matthew chapter 2 verse 1. Where is he that is born king? Not long until Christmas now, is it, folks? 52 days. The countdown's on. Good to get Halloween out of the way. But the countdown's on, and no doubt over the Christmas period, we'll hear that question read. Matthew 2 verse 1. The wise men. And I tell you, they were wise men because they sought the King of the Jews. Where is he that is born king? Tell me, do you know the king? You know about him, don't you? Of course you know about him. But I'm not asking you today, do you know about him? But do you know him? There's no king like him. Ah, yes, thank God for King Josiah, but I want to say today, thank God above all else for King Jesus. King Jesus. He's such a merciful king, such a gracious king. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth, though he could wipe us out in a second and we would deserve it. But you see, this beautiful king, the Lord Jesus, he's not like that. You see, he's a king of grace, as the hymn writer put it. And he has grace for you today. Grace for me. Grace to cover all our sins. Yes, King Josiah, his coronation at the age of 8 years. Well, we're sort of having a biography of this young king today. He was crowned when he was 8. You know, he was saved when he was 16. He became a Christian when he was 16. We read in verse 3, "For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father." King Josiah begins to seek the Lord. He's seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. But hold on a moment. Romans chapter 3 verse 11 says, "There is none that seeketh after God." None that seeketh after God. So how do we tally the two? On the one hand, young Josiah seeks after God. On the other hand, Scripture says that nobody seeks after God. Folks, I want to tell you, it's all explained by the work of the Holy Spirit. Left to ourselves in our spiritual darkness, we would never seek after the Lord Jesus. But then the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives, and somehow we begin to seek after him, and we realize that this great Creator became the Savior, and one day we'll stand before him and give an account, and we begin to tremble because of all the sins that we have committed and the things that are disgusting, that we're ashamed of, and we wouldn't want anybody in the church to know about. And we begin to seek after a Savior. We begin to realize we need a Savior. Perhaps for years, as the hymn writer said, we spent it in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. But then suddenly, things start to change. That's what happened to King Josiah. I want to tell you, friends, Josiah would never have sought after the Lord unless the Holy Spirit had been working in his life. You see, it's just a rule of salvation. It's the way it is. It's a fact. Whenever a person decides to follow Christ and they choose to be saved, it is simply and for no other reason than that the Holy Spirit has been at work in their life. The still small voice of the Holy Spirit has been speaking. It's not the work of the minister or the evangelist or the Sunday school teacher or anybody else, though their ministry has importance and is, and the Lord does use those individuals, but it's really down to the work of the Holy Spirit in the life. You see, we by nature are in complete darkness. By nature we are, spiritually speaking, a corpse. And the corpse can't do anything. Can't open its eyes. Can't speak. Can't move a muscle. That's the way we are before we are saved, spiritually speaking. But you see, the Holy Spirit was sent into the world to raise people like you and me from spiritual death and to cause us to seek after the Lord. That's what happened to Josiah, this young king. That's what happened to King Edward VI, Britain's Josiah. You know, it's amazing here that in spite of having a father and a grandfather who hated the Lord, that Josiah seeks after the Lord. Isn't it miraculous? Isn't it wonderful how the Lord works? In spite of all the hindrances that were in the way of young Josiah, God's grace still reached him. You see, folks, don't we often think, oh, if a person's going to be saved, they have to have a godly father, have to have a godly mother, godly grandparents. We've it all worked out. We think we know how it all works. But then the Word of God says that God's ways are not our ways. And very often, and in the case here in young Josiah's life, the father is wicked, and the grandfather's the same. Evil individuals. But yet God reaches down into the muck and the mire, and he lifts young Josiah out of it. And saves him by his grace, and makes him a trophy of grace. Yes, saved at the age of 16. He transformed the nation, or should I say the Lord through him transformed the nation at the age of 20. Now you'll notice that in verses 3 to 7, there's the transformation of the country. The transformation of the country. In verses 8 through to 13, you have the transformation of the church. It's very interesting when it comes to the transformation of the church, or the house of God, it is here, the temple in Jerusalem. King Josiah makes a strange discovery. You notice the strange discovery there in verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. They found the book. And this book had been buried under a load of rubbish there in the temple. Right down at the bottom under a pile of garbage was the precious word of God. I put it to you today that in a lot of churches, the Word of God is at the bottom of a pile of rubbish. The Word of God is at the bottom of a pile of garbage. You wouldn't believe, folks, the garbage that's found in churches today. I'm not talking about literal garbage and literal rubbish. I'm just talking about all the gimmicks that have been introduced to evangelical churches today. We touched on them last Sunday evening. But the wonderful thing here, as far as Josiah's reformation goes, is that they got back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. In King Edward's reign, he led the nation of England back to the Bible. Can you see the parallel between the Josiah of the Bible and England's Josiah, King Edward? My, it's always good when the monarch on the throne leads the people back to the Bible. And the Bible, it becomes the center of activities again in the church. And the Bible is not only at the center of all the church's events, but it's at the center of the whole nation. What did King, or what did Queen Victoria say to the African prince kneeling before her as he asked the question, "Your Majesty, what is the secret of England's greatness?" The immortal reply came back, "The secret of England's greatness is the Bible. The Bible." Transformation takes place. And it's the Bible that's at the root of it all. Well, there's preparation. At the age of 26, he was crowned at 8 years of age. He was saved at 16 years of age. He began the transformation or the reformation at 20 years of age. And here's the point that I make as we finish. When he was 26 years of age, there was a great preparation that began. Let me explain, or let me read first of all. You got to go to chapter 35 and verse 19. Chapter 35 and verse 19. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. He came to the throne when he was 8. 8 plus 18, 26. Folks, a great Passover was instituted by King Josiah when he was 26 years of age. King Josiah not only brought the people back to the Bible, but he brought them back to the blood. And it's always good when that happens in a country. And they're back to the blood here. They're back to the Passover. It tells us there in verse, it's in verse 18. "And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Oh, this was some Passover. This was some communion service. But I talked of preparation. Well, go back to the start of 2 Chronicles chapter 35. And go to verse 4. Notice what the young king says to his people. "And prepare yourselves." Verse 6. "Prepare your brethren." There's preparation. Prepare for this great Passover. We're going to have a Passover tonight. Well, I know it's not the Passover. It's communion. But there's similarities, isn't there? A lot of similarities. Well, the Lord Jesus, he is our Passover. He's our Passover lamb. And we're going to be remembering him tonight. The question is, are we making preparation? I pray, folks, that as we go to our homes this afternoon, that the Lord will help us to prepare. And that if we have no interest and no desire to be at the communion service tonight, that between now and then, that he will put a desire in our hearts.